podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
The passage of Scripture that we have been looking at is Galatians chapter 5, 20, verse 22, which says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness." This morning. And in order to help us get a grip on what goodness is all about, let's turn to the words of Jesus found here in Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. You see, Jesus was responding to the Pharisees in this passage. They were Jewish religious leaders who didn't like what Jesus was doing, didn't believe who Jesus said he was, the Son of God. And so anything that he had to say or anything that he did, they tried to discredit. So in this case, Jesus had just healed a man who was born blind and mute by casting out a demon from this man. Now, the Pharisees were upset about this, and they had to come up with some sort of a reason why Jesus could cast a demon out of this man, and why this man was now standing there, was able to see, and was able to talk. And so the story they came up with was that, well, Jesus did this with help from the devil. See, Jesus and the devil, they're together on this thing. So he's not really casting out demons in the name of God. He's getting help from Satan himself to deceive us. Well, Jesus, of course, had something to say about that. First of all, he said, well, why should Satan drive out Satan? Why would Satan want to drive out one of his own demons? A house divided against itself cannot stand. So that doesn't make any sense. And secondly, Jesus said, well, how can someone steal something from a strong man without first tying him up? See, Satan is still living and active in this world. And Jesus said, you know, how could somebody do something without first tying him up? And Jesus said, well, you know, the answer to that would be, apparently, Jesus, in order to steal this man who was in the devil's possession, would have to have some sort of power or authority over Satan to do that. And the third thing Jesus says, he accused the Pharisees of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit by saying, listen, what you're saying is that this demon was driven out by the power of Satan, when in reality this demon was driven out by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what you're doing is you're calling God Satan. You're saying that God has done something in the power of Satan, and there is no forgiveness for someone who denies God in that way. And then Jesus continues, and he identifies the source of good and evil in the lives of people, starting with verse 33. So let's look at Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Also, as long as you have your Bible open to Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 15. Jesus now is warning about false prophets, some who would come and who would speak lies in the name of God. And he says in verse 15 of Matthew 7, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." So Jesus is talking about goodness and where it comes from. So the first question is that someone might ask as they look at the fruit of the Spirit is, well, what is the difference between kindness and goodness? What is this distinction between these two fruits of the Spirit, goodness and kindness? Because they sure do sound like the same thing. They seem to overlap a little bit, don't they? The truth is that they do overlap. When you do something that is kind for someone, it's usually good, right? When you do something kind, it's usually good. So kindness and goodness certainly overlap. But What about if you do something good? Is it always kind? Well, it depends on the perspective of the person that you do it for. Depends on who you are. Because some people on the receiving end of goodness do not think it to be very kind. Let me explain that for a minute. And Jesus was at the temple. We know that as he came through the temple, he saw something that disturbed him greatly. There, just outside the temple, in temple court, there was a marketplace going on, and there was buying and selling of sacrificial lambs. So the problem about it was that the sacrificial lambs were the price of them was jacked up way beyond what they should have been. Because people were having to travel to Jerusalem from all over Israel. And once they got there, if they didn't have the sacrificial lamb that they needed to make their sacrifice, they had to get it from somewhere. So you know how it is when you go to the ballpark. A hot dog costs $5. A soft drink, can cost $6. And what are they doing? It's because you're sitting in the ballpark and they've got you, right? So this is what was happening in the temple. And Jesus walked by and he was upset about it because they're selling sacrificial lambs for 2-3 times what they should be worth. And so you remember what Jesus did, right? He did something good. He did something good. He overturned the tables. We're told that he began to snap some whips. He began to chase these money changers out of the temple. And he told them that this is not right. This is not the right behavior in God's house. This is not the way that we should worship God. And so he chased them from the temple. Now, as we look at that example of what Jesus did, we can honestly say that what he did was good. The next question is what Jesus did kind? Now, if you were one of the salesmen there, one of the money changers, you'd probably say, no, that wasn't kind. He overturned my table. The lambs that I had ran, the money that I had was all over the floor. I was scared to death, this man running through here. I took off. No, that wasn't kind in his mind. However, for the mind of those people who were coming to worship, certainly that was something that was kind for them. And what about for God? Ultimately, it was good and it was kind to clear the temple of those who weren't really there to worship. So these things kind of overlap, but they're not exactly the same. So what is goodness? I think that we've heard of goodness in a number of different contexts. For example, when you talk about chocolate chip cookies, right? People say that they have ooey gooey goodness all the way through, right? And I think that there are probably some people here that when we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit, they don't like fruit. I'm not going to name any names, okay? They don't like fruit. So maybe if God wanted to communicate better to people like that, he would have talked about the baked goods of the Spirit, right? Or the candy of the Spirit. And so God tells you to eat fruit, so you buy some Starburst. Is that how it works? The deal here is that goodness is not at all necessarily about, tasty. If it tastes good, if it looks good, if it smells good, it must be good, right? But what really makes something good, according to the Word of God, is if it is approved by God. If when God, upon looking at one of our actions or something that comes from our life or a word that is spoken from our mouth, if God looks upon that and says, that is right, it is good, then that thing is good. It's in the eyes of God. Kindness is like showing mercy to someone rather than being rude or hurtful. Goodness is doing what is right before God. Yeah, the two overlap. A lot of the time they overlap, as they overlap with love as well. But there is a distinction. One more example. Let's say that you have a tone-deaf friend, can't sing a lick, comes up to you and says, guess what? I'm trying out for American Idol. They're going to be here in Greensboro, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to try out for American Idol. This is awesome. I know I'm going to make it all the way. I'm going to win this thing. You have a choice to make here, right? When your friend says that to you. You can be what you might think is kind and say, well, have a good time. I hope it goes well. Or you can be really kind in the true sense of the word and at the same time good in the eyes of God by saying, you know what? Here's the truth, okay? You probably shouldn't do that. And here's why. We see the struggle between kindness and goodness. They're overlapping, but they're different. To be kind is to do good. To be good is to do what is right. And so both of these passages we looked at, the one in Matthew 12 and the one in Matthew 7, both teach the same thing. They tell us a little bit about the process of trees and fruit. Good trees produce good fruit is what both of those passages teach. Bad trees, of course, then produce bad fruit. We understand that from these passages. If the fruit is bad and you taste the fruit and you say, boy, this is the most horrible fruit I've ever tasted, you might be able to surmise that it's from a bad tree. Now, you might have to try some other fruit from that tree, too. You know, it has to be a consistent pattern of bad fruit. You say, well, that's just a bad tree. That's what the problem is. But the opposite is true also. If you're getting this luscious, you know, perfect, delicious, beautiful fruit from a tree consistently, you say, well, that's a good tree. And that's what the parallel is here. It's not very profound if you think about it when it comes to agriculture. It's just common sense. But if you consistently get this bad, rotten, sour, yucky, disgusting, bitter, deformed fruit from a tree, it's probably the fault of the tree itself. There's a story that is told in the book of Matthew toward the end in chapter 21. As Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem, it says, early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the tree withered. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read that passage and I go, come on, the poor tree. You know, was Jesus having a bad day? What, you know, he walked up to a tree and it didn't have any fruit on it. He got upset and he cursed it and it withered. You know, it doesn't seem fair to the tree. Give it a chance, right? But see, first of all, this is really not a story about a tree. It's really a story about the people of Israel, God's chosen people, who God had designed and chosen and prepared and equipped to bear fruit for him. But they hadn't done a very good job of it, and they were about to crucify the Son of God who had come to them. So the cursing of the fig tree is really a cursing of the nation of Israel at that time, and saying, you should have borne fruit. This was what you were designed to do, and you're not doing that. And as we saw from the passage in Matthew chapter 7, a tree that does not bear good fruit, what happens to it in the real world? It's cut down and it's burned up. You can take a cherry tree that doesn't make fruit, and you can make a nice table out of it or a chair or something, right? It's not useful for producing fruit anymore. And that's really what that story is about. That Jesus saw a tree that was supposed to be producing fruit, it wasn't, and the tree was cursed. There is some good news in all of this. And that is that a bad tree can become a good tree. It's possible. It's possible for a tree that is bad and producing bad fruit to be transformed and to become a good tree that bears good fruit. It just takes some care, some pruning, some transformation, the right fertilizer. It can be changed. In fact, you could take a branch from a bad tree and you can graft it into a good tree, and that bad branch can now produce good fruit. There are some things that can be done for bad trees. Well, how does this all apply to the fruit of the Spirit being goodness? Well, look again at Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, one thing we can learn about goodness is that good hearts produce good words. Good hearts produce good words, what Jesus says in this passage. The opposite would be true also, that bad hearts produce bad words. Bad words. By bad words, it means evil, dirty, untrue, judgmental, words that are used to tear down rather than to build up, hurtful, spiteful words, damaging words. These were the types of words that the Pharisees were speaking toward Jesus. They were untrue, and they were designed to damage his reputation. But good words would be the opposite of that. Words that are used to encourage and to uplift and to help people. Words that are beautiful. Words that are kind. Words that are true. That's goodness. The fruit of the Spirit. And do you know that the fruit of the Spirit can be measured in words? The fruit of the Spirit of goodness. By listening to what you have to say throughout the course of the day, one can determine what's going on the inside of you, spiritually speaking. That the fruit of your life sometimes is just words. And are the words that are being produced from your life words that could be characterized as good? Is there goodness that's coming from your mouth? There's some great proverbs about this particular thing. In fact, first of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 15, however. There's a verse there that I want you to see. Jesus, in a similar way, says, the things that come out of the mouth come from where? The heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All of this, what you would call badness, comes out of the evil heart, the bad heart of a human being. Including the words that come out of the mouth come from that heart. And let's look at those proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Do you see the pattern here? That out of the good, the righteous, those who are godly, come good things, come good words. But out of those who are ungodly comes nothing good. And then one more proverb. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 says that a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I've always wondered what that means. You know, an apple of gold in a setting of silver. And there's a couple of different opportunities for us to translate that. One is, some people believe it's talking about jewelry. It's be about a jewelry that you would wear around your neck, that it's a gold apple that's been designed by a jeweler or a craftsman, and it's in a setting of silver. That's one way to look at it, is that it's a piece of jewelry. Another way to look at it is that there's beautiful silver tray that has these perfect gold apples upon it. You can look at it any way you want, but it's talking about the fact that if you say the right thing at the right time in the right way, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's something of great value. So goodness is about sometimes what we say, the right word spoken at the right time in the right way. When the Holy Spirit has control of your life, then goodness will flow from your mouth in streams of these beautiful, encouraging words that are helpful to others. And the Spirit will have a tendency to stifle and hold back those hurtful words that are untrue, that are better left unspoken. You know, we all have some strategies about this. You know, some people say, oh, you better bite your tongue. You know what I mean? You've got this thing that you want to say, and it's just bubbling up inside of you, and you just want to respond, and you want to retaliate, and you want to hurt someone. One of the strategies is to bite your tongue. Another one is to count to 10, right? I'm going to count to 10, and hopefully by the time I'm done with number 10, I'm not going to want to say this anymore. Or perhaps it's just to walk away. I'm just not going to say a word. Has anyone ever done that to you, by the way? You're having a great conversation with them. You know, things are starting to get a little heated, and suddenly they just turn and walk away. And you're left standing there like, what was that? Well, maybe they were just being gracious to you and kind. And that was their way of not saying what they wanted to say. But those strategies are really strategies for muffling what's inside in your heart and in your thoughts. The fruit of the Spirit acts in a different way. It's a better strategy. To allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, to grab control of your life and your thoughts and your heart, in such a way that before those words even really rise to your conscious level, the Holy Spirit has muffled them and stifled them. And in fact, only good thoughts come to mind that produce helpful words in those moments. That's if the Holy Spirit has control of us. the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 tells us that not only do good hearts produce good words, but also good people produce good works. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." A couple other verses to look at in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That this is why God saved you. This is why God brought you into the world, transformed your life, is helping you to grow in him to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." That this is why God has created us to do good works. This is why he's working in our lives to create goodness, the fruit of the Spirit. And the goodness is about the Holy Spirit, who is good, living inside of the believer who has been made good by God, providing and producing good works so that others can see that God is good. You get that? Holy Spirit is good working inside of you. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have been made good by God. And those good works come out of you and others can see them and then they know that God is good. But don't expect the world to understand. There were some teenage girls in Colorado who were fined $900 for baking cookies for their neighbors. You might say, what? What did they do wrong? You know, cookies. Well, what happened was these girls were invited to go to a party one night, and they were Christian girls, and they said, "You know what? I know the type of party this is because of the people that are going to be there. So, why don't we just stay home?" They stayed home from the party, and they started to get really bored. You know, what are we going to do? And so they decided, well, why don't we think of something kind we can do for our neighbors, right? So what they did was they came up with an idea, some good works that they could do for their neighbors. They started baking cookies and putting them in little baggies, and they were going to go to these people's homes and put the cookies on their doorstep and knock on the door and leave. And people would come, and there would be a free gift of cookies, a little note there from the girls. So they did this. They went down the street, one house after another. The only problem is that it was 10:30 at night, and there was one woman who was asleep in her home, and she had a panic attack when she heard the doorbell ring. And the next morning, she went to the hospital in order to be checked because she felt like she maybe had had a heart attack. Well, she sued these girls for knocking on her door and dropping off cookies at 10:30 at night. And the judge, although he didn't punish them, he did not give this woman a punitive award. He did require them to pay the medical bill for her appearance in the emergency room the next morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, "It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Don't expect that every time you do good, it's going to be received the right way. Sometimes when we do good in this world, people don't like it. Look at Jesus. He came to do nothing but good, and look how he was received. So don't let that discourage you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is goodness, and he produces good works in our lives, and no matter how the world receives it, we pray that they'll receive it and understand that our God is good. Because our good God produces goodness. That is a picture of who our God is. Why was Jesus upset with the Pharisees in this story? Well, the reason is because they were accusing him of healing and teaching and ministering by the power of Satan. They said everything he does is because he's friends with Satan. That's what it's all about. When he was healing and teaching by the power of God, they were basically calling God a liar. And they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit by calling him Beelzebub, Satan. And there is no forgiveness, according to the Word of God, for those who deny God in that way. Our God is good. And Jesus was acting out of the goodness of God. And we've known that God is good since we were little kids, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. We used to pray that every time we would have a meal. So that sunk into our hearts, we hope. And God's goodness extends to all. Look at Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good to who? All. He has made compassion. He has compassion on everyone, all that he has made. There's not one person on the face of this earth that has not experienced the goodness of God in one way or another. He's good to all, whether they deserve it or not. He doesn't choose to be good to his favorites. God is good to everyone without exception. And God lives inside of you. His Holy Spirit is within you as a believer, prompting you to be good to everyone who is in your life and to produce all kinds of good works through who you are. God wants to take you with the talents and the abilities that you have, with the unique DNA, personality, traits, gifts, everything that he has created in you. God wants to take that and by his Holy Spirit to produce good works, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit that nobody else can produce, only you, because you've been created to produce them. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to produce good works that he planned ahead of time for you to produce. He's working in you to produce goodness. That's the fruit of the Spirit living in you. To say what is right, to do what is right, that others may see his goodness, the goodness of God in you. Well, there is a fruit for goodness. And to me, that fruit is the strawberry. And I love this one strawberry I got here because that's like the size of an apple. You know what I mean? That's a good strawberry right there. And the strawberry is the fruit of goodness for a couple of reasons. First of all, because the strawberry really doesn't have any skin. It might have a little thin membrane if you look close. But see, my hands are already getting red from just touching this strawberry. And what that tells us is that the goodness of the strawberry is visible on the outside of the strawberry. That should be how the believer lives their life. That the goodness of God, the Holy Spirit living within you, should be visible on the outside by the things you say and the things you do and the way you live your life. They should see the goodness of God. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. But there's another reason, and that is because if you've never noticed, the strawberry is one of the only fruits that carries its seeds on the outside where you can see them. You know that? A lot of fruits hide their seeds way down in the inside. You got to cut into them to get to the seed. But the strawberry has those seeds right there on the outside where you can see them. And I believe that that is how God wants us to live our lives as believers, because the seed, of course, is the Word of God. It's the gospel. And we are to live our lives in such a way that others can see the goodness of God, the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives, carried on the outside through our good works and through the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in our lives. Don't hide the goodness of God that resides within you. And don't hide the good news of Jesus Christ that resides within you. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness to be displayed for all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And Father, I pray for each one that's gathered here. Lord, we as believers in Jesus Christ desire to become more and more like him. We know that Jesus was good in all that he said and all that he did. And Father, as we look at our lives, we recognize that we fall short, that in so many ways we have done what is wrong, what is evil in your sight. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. But we pray, Lord, that day by day by day, we might become more and more good, that the good works and the good words of our life would represent the God who lives within us, that others might know that you are alive and well in us because of the way that we live, the things that we say, and the good actions that are produced from us. Lord, help us, Father, to be filled with your Holy Spirit in such a way that others may see and others may know that you are good. Father, we thank you today for your presence with us and ask, Lord, that you would move and work and act and live and gain control of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we close our time together, we're going to be singing hymn number 604, Come All Christians Be Committed. Let's commit ourselves to goodness today. I invite you to come if the Lord has spoken to you today and you have a need and you'd like prayer today, or if the Lord has spoken to you in such a way that you'd like to make a decision, we invite you to come forward as we sing this closing hymn, number 604. Shall we stand again? Thank you.
would cause us to be more transparent, that others could see that goodness living in us. And Father, may we leave this place as your ambassadors, as your servants in this world. And Father, may we be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen.